have your Bibles, I want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading with verse 14 through the end of the chapter, and when I start talking, you'll think it doesn't relate, but just stay with me. Okay. But in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 14, referring to Jesus, says, "For he is our peace, who has made both one," he's talking about Jew and non-Jew, "and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the hostility, even the law of commandments that was contained in ordinance, to make in himself of the two, Jew and non-Jew, one new man, making peace, and that he might reconcile both Jew and non-Jew unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the hostility thereby, and came and preached peace to you who were afar off, the non-Jews, and to those who were near, the Jews. For through him we both, Jew and non-Jew, have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built," and this is really what I want to draw your attention to for one thing, "are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows," note that, "grows into," or increases, "into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." A habitation of God through the Spirit. And I emphasize through the Spirit. Okay? Now I want to talk to you about living by faith. I told you wouldn't think it would relate, right? But what is living by faith? And I think people have a strong misconception of what this actually is. But I want to go back all the way at the beginning. And you look at how the Bible has evolved, if you will, from an old to a new. We start with prophets. Enoch was a prophet. Do you know that? Okay, that's good. All right. Noah, what's he doing? He's a mouthpiece for God. He's also prophesying, isn't he? And you look at Abraham. You look at Moses. You look at David. You look at all your prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel, Daniel and Hosea and Joel, and the list goes on. What are they doing? They're laying a foundation. They're telling of things to come. And I think a lot of people overlook that. Now, what is an apostle and what is a prophet? It's really real simple. If you look at definition, an apostle is just simply a delegate. One sent by God. A delegate is representative, right? One sent to represent another. And that's what an apostle is. One sent to represent God. What's a prophet? A prophet is a person who is inspired by God. And so when we're looking at apostles and prophets, we're looking at people who have been appointed, if you want to say anointed, it's the same, it's synonym words, okay. But they've been set apart by God to represent God. The apostolic is more through instruction, where the prophetic is more through a spontaneous word that's coming forth by the inspiration of God. But that is the foundation upon which we are built. You think about all the prophecy, for instance, in Isaiah concerning the Messiah. It's not when just Jesus just came on the scene, but all these things are building up to that point. And so when Jesus comes on the scene, there's something substantial there that can be referred to. And if you'll look at his teachings, often he was teaching from the Old Testament. If you look at Paul's teaching, often he was teaching from the Old Testament. The new is referring often to the old, and the old is pointing to the new. Now, we are called to believe it. That's living by faith. You believe what God said. You believe what God says through the instruction. You believe what God has said through prophetic. Now, I understand I said believe what God said. That means it has to agree with the Scriptures. You understand? Don't believe what doesn't agree with the Scriptures. And there's a lot of stuff out there, people talking about their modern day revelation, that is not supported by Scripture. Well, it's not a revelation from God if it's not supported by Scripture. This is a complete Bible, you understand. Now, the Lord is calling us to live by faith. He has been all along. Even under the law, God wanted those people living by faith. But instead, they made the law a works thing, to where they were living their life and believing that if they did the right thing, they were okay. People are still thinking the same way today. If they do the right thing, they're okay. No, you must be born again. It's the cross that got rid of the hostility. It's the cross that brought reconciliation between God and man. In other words, man and God is back in the right relationship to where they can commune. But understand that it's not the cross in itself, but the man who was on the cross that reconciled. So Jesus as man and Jesus as God in one body has brought reconciliation between God and man. Now, did Jesus live his life by faith? I always do what I see my Father do. I always make my decision by what I hear. That's by faith. That's why he could take a few loaves and some fish and feed 5,000, 4,000. That's why he could walk on water. Because your natural mind tells you those things don't work. That it's an impossibility. Now, where we are today is people are looking at problems in life like that multitude of 5,000, 4,000 men. And just with a little handful and saying, it won't work, it won't work. And what God is saying, I don't want you to get your eyes on circumstances. Living by faith is not paying any attention. Who spoke and didn't even know what they were saying. As a matter of fact, in the writings of Paul, he said they longed to see that day that we're seeing today. They longed to see the revelation of Jesus Christ. They were prophesying what they couldn't see. Talking about what they couldn't see. Daniel fasting and praying, trying to get answers. And you know, we have what he saw, what was revealed to him, but do you know he never got the revelation himself? God told him, just seal it up. It's not for you. You just write it out. It's for days to come. Do you think it would take faith to do that? And I look at the prophets like Jeremiah, for instance. When Judah is in siege, and he's prophesied that they're going into Babylonian captivity, and yet the Egyptians come to the rescue, and the Babylonian army leaves the city. That looks like it didn't come to pass, but he keeps on prophesying, you're going into captivity. He's not seeing it with his eyes. You understand? And you're talking about getting ridiculed. He's beyond ridicule. He's even put in the dungeon. But it didn't stop the Word of God from coming to pass. And what we have to learn is the Word of God is more reliable than anything you can see. Anything you can understand. Anything you can reason. God's Word is more reliable than that. And God is wanting us to depend on His Word. But so often we depend on our own or someone else's. And I was reminded right before I came up here this morning by the Spirit, I was reminded of how it used to be when I first started out in ministry. I would work all week, and I would, when Sunday came, I would have an outline. And I wouldn't think about walking into the pulpit without an outline. And there come a point in time when the Lord dealt with me. I was dependent on me. And this morning, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. As usual, right? And the Lord reminded me that He wanted me to live by faith. Then He went on to say, I'm in you. Trust me. Do you believe God's in you? Do you believe God's in you enough to trust Him? Or are you trying to advise Him? See where I'm coming from? Most people today, if it doesn't make sense, they don't want to live by that. They don't want to step out on the water. They don't want to tell the multitude to sit down and get ready to eat when you only have a handful of stuff, food. But God's wanting us to get to the place to where we're dependent upon Him, not on ourselves. To where we believe that He can do what people say can't be done. He does the impossible. If it's possible, it's no big deal. That's why a miracle's a big deal. Because it's not possible. Yet it happens. And God is building a temple. And it's not a stationary building. We, people, just see yourself as a brick. Some of you qualify, right? One brick. But if you look at this building, it took many bricks to make up the building, right? It takes many members to make up the body of Christ. Each individual must put his faith in God. That God knew what He was doing when He made you. God knew what He was doing when He put the gifts and abilities in you. And that He wants you to use those. They're an asset to the overall temple. whatever that may be. But what if you're not believing that and you're not just trusting God when you step out and do things? You won't step out and do things. That's the bottom line. You keep thinking naturally. You keep thinking about your ability. And God wants us to turn loose and let Him use the ability that He gave us. God's flawless. We're not. And when you get into the flesh, you make mistakes. When you get into the Spirit of God does not make mistakes. God wants us living off of what He's already established, or what He's speaking to us daily. You understand that the Scripture says, give us today, daily, this day. Give me today what I need today to sustain me. Give me today my daily bread. Today. But we want it for the week, or we want it for the month, or we want it for the year. And God's wanting us to trust Him one day at a time. Get through today. You trust God for tomorrow. When tomorrow gets here, you're living for that day. What do? You do all you know to do. Now, a lot of people know to do stuff they're not doing. They say they don't know, but they do know. When you get promptings or you get thoughts on the inside to do this or to do that, why aren't you doing it? If it agrees with the Word of God. If it doesn't violate the Spirit of God on the inside, then why aren't you doing it? I could give a lot of answers to that. One of the big ones is, it's inconvenient. And I'd rather be doing something else. Well, I learned this, that if we're going to walk by the Spirit, then we're just going to have to just get it settled on the inside of us. We're going to live an inconvenient life. God never works at my convenience. Needs are not, do not come at a time of convenience. For the most part. You with me? And so we just have to trust God and believe God that He's going to strengthen us, give us the stamina, He's going to energize us, give us the wisdom, the understanding to do whatever it is that needs to be done at that particular time. But He wants us to live by faith. And living by faith is believing God more than you believe anything else. Then things can't rattle your cage. Do you understand if you believe God more than you believe anything else, you would never operate in fear? Think about it. And right now, the world is operating, it is captivated by fear. You know what that means? The devil has them by the throat. The sad part of that is church people. Now, I could expect the world to be afraid because they don't know any better. But our God created the heaven and earth and everything is in it. With His living on the inside of us, we should know better. He tells us that perfect love, or complete mature love, casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And God does not want us tormented. God wants us living in peace in the middle of the storm. Doesn't matter what's going on around you. You trust God. You know the Scripture says that He will never leave us nor forsake us? Do you know what that means? You are never alone. You never go anywhere God's not with you. He has you covered. You understand? But we want to walk out from under the covering by not trusting Him, by not believing in Him. And He says, violating the religious tradition, and it gets him beaten and put in prison and all these other things. But thank God he was a man of faith. He lived by faith, not by sight, and he didn't let the circumstances stop him from declaring the truth. And we have to decide, are we going to believe the lie, or are we going to believe the Word of God? Are we going to believe truth? There's no gray area. It's either true or it's not true. If it's God speaking, it's true. If it's untrue, it can't be God speaking. But truth's based on eternal things, not on temporary. If you based it on the temporary, you would have said, Isaiah's a false prophet, Jeremiah's a false prophet, Ezekiel's a false prophet. You would have called all of them false prophets because they were prophesying things that didn't happen on the timetable of this requires discipline. To where you trust God more than you trust you. What I'm doing right now is because I trust God more than me. I don't have an outline. I have the Spirit of God living in me. So do you. Living by faith is not walking by sight. Living by faith is not following status quo. And I will promise you that living by faith is not politically correct. If you are politically correct, you are in violation of God. Because God is not politically correct. He violates all the systems of men. He operates in the kingdom of God, and that's where He's wanting us. You understand the temple of God is in the kingdom of God, not in the kingdoms of the world. Remember, I said spiritual. Remember what we read the last verse? Spiritual house. It's a spiritual house. It's a habitation of God by the Spirit. God indwells us by the Spirit. God is Spirit. He's indwelling spiritual people. That's people who are living by faith, not by sight. You understand? What are you building on? You may think you're building on something substantial because you can see it, but if you can see it, you're building on sand. You build on what you don't see. You build on the Word of God. You build on the Spirit of God. You understand? The apostles and the right hand of the Father, He's waiting until His enemies are made His footstool. And I just kept thinking about the footstool, and I know the feet's on the body. We're the body of Christ. Jesus is waiting for the church to put Satan under its feet. And the only way that can be done is by faith. We have to live by faith in order to walk on the enemy. And He tells us that He's given us authority to walk on Him. In Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, that's demons, and over all the power of the enemy, And then he goes on to say, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The people are afraid of the devil. They're afraid the devil's going to hurt. I don't want to upset the devil. I make the devil mad. He may do something to me. Why don't you do something to him? Take authority over him. Run him off. Backing down from him. He's defeated. Jesus defeated him. Why are you afraid of something that's already whipped? People are afraid the whip is going to whip them. But if we live by faith, let me tell you this, living by faith, I'm not talking about a Jesus on a cross. That's a done deal. I'm talking about a resurrected Jesus. Read about him in Revelation 1. He's not on the cross. He is something to behold. Eyes like flame of fire. Feet like they're burning in, they're so bright like bronze in another. Voice like many waters. Hair white like wool. You understand, he's not girded with some little old cloth, but he has the robe and a golden belt around him. Stately. Revealing as he is the Almighty. You don't contend with him and win. But we've got to believe that. We have to believe that. Most people are still hanging around the cross. They're forgetting the resurrection, that Jesus isn't there. Thank God for the cross. The cross was just a point to bring man back to God. Once man's reconciled to God, then he needs to focus on the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in Him. Believe Him more than you believe anything. Live by faith. That's what He's telling us. Live by faith. Stop believing what you see. Start believing what God says. Stop believing what you hear. Start believing what God says. You know, there used to be a saying when I was growing up, I never did quite understand it, but I'm getting a little more revelation of it. Was don't believe anything you see and half of what you hear. Well, now I've come to the conclusion, don't believe anything you see or hear. Because, like the psalmist said, in my haste I said, all men are liars. Let God be true, and every man a liar. You with me? God is spirit. And the things you pick up from God is going to be by perception from the inside, not through senses. God is wanting us to stop relying on senses and start relying on the Spirit of God who lives on the inside of us. Live by faith. That's what He wants us to do. Now, what is living by faith? Believe in God more than you believe anything. You believe His apostles. You believe His prophets. You build on what they say. You understand that we do that without even knowing it in one aspect? Isaiah prophesied all these things about Jesus, the virgin birth, the government would be on His shoulder, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. Do you know we built on that? When you look at what the prophets have said just concerning the Messiah, we've built on that. We've taken them literally at the word. Well, that's Jesus. They were prophesying about Jesus. They were prophesying about Messiah. Jesus did all these things, so He has to be the Messiah. Now, religion couldn't handle that. that rejected it because it didn't match their mold. They had this thing reasoned out and it didn't match. But living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all harm safe, in His sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alone. People today don't even know the song. No wonder they're not living by faith. It wasn't put in them. Okay. The message is God wants us living by faith. That simple. Otherwise, you're going to be duped, you're going to be deceived, and you're going to miss God. If you're not living by faith, you will miss God.